Much, Royce and ladies, invite you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I believe the children can be dismissed to children's church, following Roberta back there. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. What a promise. Let's stand together and bow before the Lord in prayer. If you would, join me in prayer, but let's do stand and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this time we can come to worship you, and may we truly worship you and honor you. Worship is giving. It's giving you our thanks, our praise, our hearts, our devotion. You are worthy of worship. Only you are worthy. And we are commanded to worship God and to honor him. And Lord, we know we best honor you by living for you and turning away from sin and turning to our Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray, Lord, this time together will be a precious time, time of learning, a time of glorifying you, a time of edification as well. I pray, Lord, for your help. Use your word as you see fit. Use me as you will. I am not worthy. I'm no more worthy than any of us here. We all have such needs. And I thank you, Lord, that though we were sinners, we are saved by grace and we've been transformed into saints. And may we live according to our position. May we walk worthy of the Lord who has redeemed us. And to do that, we need your grace, Lord, yet your grace is sufficient. And I thank you for that. So bless now as we continue, and may our time be a time well spent this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks so much. God doesn't want his children to be miserable and doubting of his gift of salvation. He desires and he delights in your joy. He wants you to have joy and confidence in him, as we mentioned last time. We read in Psalm 5, verse 11, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So rejoice, have joy, be joyful in thee. John 15:11, Jesus himself said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. Are you joyful this morning? You know what? If you're not, you're sinning. You're sinning. You're disobeying God because God commands us to be joyful. Now, is Terry Post always joyful? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. You can assume that I am, but you know better, right? You know better. But God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice in Philippians chapter 4. That's a command that God tells us to. And he gives us the grace and the ability so we can joy even in the midst of the greatest trial and heartache. There is an inner joy and peace that cannot be explained, but is a gift of God. If we have been born again, redeemed by the blood of Christ, transformed from a child of darkness to light, if we are saved and have become children of God, we can also have the confidence that we are children of God and that we're on our way to heaven. God wants you and me to have assurance. He saves us and he wants us to know we're saved. Now, if I'm saved, but can never quite come to having assurance that I'm saved, and I'm always doubting and wondering, as I said before, that doesn't change my status of salvation one bit. I will go to heaven whether I have the assurance of salvation or not. If I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven. Say, well, I don't know for sure. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you're saved, you're going to heaven, whether you know for sure or not. You see, assurance of salvation is not essential to salvation, but assurance of salvation is essential, I believe, to having joy. It's hard to have joy and confidence and faith when I'm always doubting, always wondering, you know. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if God can keep me or not. I don't know if I'm really saved or not. I failed here. I failed there. And God wants you to have assurance, and you can have. The Lord, through his word, makes it clear that we can know and that he wants us to know. Again, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may, what? Know you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. You can know that. That was one of the very first verses that was shown to me after I was saved. And what a blessing. And it's always been a blessing ever since that day. And I think it was 1974. That's a long time ago. And that verse I've looked at many, many times since. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Does God mean what he says? You better believe it. So if you believe in the name of the Son of God, you have eternal life, and you shall never, ever, ever lose it. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. And if it's God's gift, it's forever. It's forever. Well, here in our passage today, God gives us three ways in which he wants us to enjoy and have assurance of salvation. As we said before, two are positive, one is negative. Number one, how to have assurance is be growing. These are all B's. Be growing, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They be in you and abound. I'm to be growing. I'm abounding in the knowledge of the Lord. And then fruit will come because I'm growing. And that gives me assurance because I know I'm pleasing the Lord. If you want to please God and you want to read your Bible and you want to pray, I know we fail, and you want to be around God's people, then those are strong indications you know the Lord is your Savior. I'm not saying you're going to always do those things as you should, but it's that desire that is in you, and you'll be growing. Number two is be remembering. Verse 9, be remembering. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. He's blind, he's nearsighted, and he's forgetful if these things aren't in him. We talked about that last Sunday. He's blind, nearsighted, forgetful. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way. We need to be remembering what God has done. So be growing, be remembering. And this morning, we're at verse 10, be doing. Be doing. Be growing, be remembering, and be doing. It's what I'm doing that really matters. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things. Now, preacher, I can't work my way to heaven. No, that's right. Many have tried. Many are trying. But because I'm on my way to heaven, I'm to be doing. I'm to be working because I'm a Christian. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So be doing. First of all, we see Peter's exhortation to spiritual growth here. Exhortation to spiritual growth. I'll give you the points here. I think I have 3 points. The first point is Peter is exhorting us to spiritual growth. He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. So give diligence to make sure, because you can be sure. That word diligence has the idea of be eager. Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. God has chosen you. God has called you. But I want to make sure that my life lines up with that election and calling of God. God's grace shouldn't cause us to relax, but God's grace ought to cause us to be all the more eager and intense to serve Him. I serve Him eagerly and with diligence because I know He loves me so much, and He's preparing a place for me in heaven. Who wouldn't want to serve someone that's done that for you and me? Sure you do. Now, like a child wanting to make mom and dad happy because they live in a happy home, they have a happy family, and they love their dad, they love their mom, and they want to do right. They don't always do right, but they're always their children, right? So be intense. And God wants you to be sure, so be doing to be sure. Because if you're doing these things, you will never fall. Wow, never fall? You will never fall. That is one tremendous promise. You will never, never, never fall. You'll never fall from grace, will you? You'll never fall from your salvation. And if you could fall, but you never will fall, the Lord would pick you up and dust you off and restore you and set you on your way again. I'm just amazed. God says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are unbelieving, He abides faithful. And really, literally, that word unbelieving means faithless. If we are faithless, or if we are unfaithful, He abides faithful. And are you ever unfaithful? You say, preacher, you want me to tell you how many times I've been unfaithful in one day? Sometimes in 1 hour. But God is so gracious. Even though we may be faithless and unfaithful, He abides faithful. And that's one great promise. Again, 2 Timothy 2:13. Okay, if you're a believer, you need to remember that you didn't get there on your own or by your own effort, did you? You responded to God's calling and election. You were chosen to salvation. You say, well, preacher, no, I believed on the Lord. I know, but you and I would have never believed if God hadn't chosen us. So, two truths there, right? God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, man's free will. You responded to God's calling and election, yet you were chosen to salvation. You believed in Christ as Savior because of God the Father drew you. That's so clear in Scripture. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man could come to me except or unless the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. You could never have come to the Lord, Jesus said, unless the Father had drawn you. And He drew you with cords of love. I know that had to be true in my life because I didn't have it in me to know. I was so stupid and ignorant and so rebellious. And yet one night somehow, it's a mystery I'll never understand, is how I can get on my knees and call out to the Lord to save me. Except He was drawing me. You and I cannot come on our own. God takes the initiative, but I must respond, okay? I must respond. You and I were dead in sins. Okay? Are you able to, will you be able to raise yourself up out of the grave when you die? You're going to die, by the way, one day. You say, well, I don't like that thought. I'm just going to get up out of the grave. How are you going to do that? You say, oh, that's impossible. No, it doesn't happen. People can't get up out of the grave. Well, Jesus, we're told in the Bible, we are dead in our sins. We are dead, spiritually dead. We cannot give ourselves spiritual life. God has to do that. Remember Lazarus? God raised him brought him forth out of the tomb. And what did Jesus say? To this dead man, he had been dead 3 days. He stunk. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. But it only happened because of what God gave him life, and God gives you and me life. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. John 15:16. God chose us, but I've got to respond. I've got to respond and go then and be fruitful. Ephesians 1:3-4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Wow. I don't understand that. God chose me before the foundation of the world. Also, other scripture, and the Bible's filled with these truths, and we rejoice in them because it doesn't depend. Because God has done the work, then it's not all up to me to keep my salvation. See, I can never keep it if it was up to me. I mean, I've lost it so many times. If I could lose it, I've lost it many times. But anyway, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 1 Peter 1, verse 2, and 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And we looked at that pretty extensively when we began this series on Peter, back in 1 Peter chapter 1, quite a long time ago. So now, God speaking through Peter tells us to make it sure. Make it sure. And I believe I can be sure when I make it sure. And that's where I have a responsibility. I'm to live a holy life. I can't go out and live for the devil, live for the world, and think I'm going to have assurance and joy. Not going to happen. It just they're contrary to one another. It's so important that God says to give diligence to accomplish that. And you can make it sure and thus be sure. But I can't just think, well, I'm just going to coast on into heaven with a little effort. I'm just going to lay back. It's so nice. God's going to take care of everything. And I don't have to do one thing. Doesn't make any difference. You do. It's a war. You and I are in a war. It's a great battle that we're engaged in. And thus, I must make every effort and give diligence. Now, Peter pointed out that calling and election go together. The same God who elects his people, chooses his people, also ordains the means to call them. So the two go together, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning at verse 13. Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks always. Well, in fact, why don't you turn there? Keep your place in 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. I think this is worthy of just taking a minute to turn there. Boy, I found Timothy. I didn't find 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We read, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God chooses, the Spirit sanctifies, and I believe. All take place. God chooses, the Holy Spirit sets us apart, sanctifies. I just believe. I respond. I have a responsibility to believe. Call it man's responsibility, man's free will. I've got to respond. So God chose you in eternity past, but he called you in time. That's what I mean. I don't understand. How could God choose me from eternity past? But then in time, he called you. There was a day he called you to himself, and you responded if you know him. So that's an amazing thing. 2 Timothy 2:19, we read, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I have a responsibility to say no to sin. No to sin. Hebrews 6:11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. I'm to be diligent to have full assurance of hope to the end. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I got to do what's right. Be doing, give all diligence, right? For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And let's love. I'm to love God. I'm to love one another. We ought to love each person in this body equally. Equally. You say, well, I don't get along with that person. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I may not get along with someone. I can still love them. I still love them in the Lord and say they're a child of God and we're going to the same heaven. And I have a hard time getting along with them now, but I will then, and I can love them now. And sometimes those people that you think are difficult, you start loving them, praying for them, you can become best friends one day. You say, well, I don't like what they did to me. Okay, did you go talk to them? I don't like what I've heard about them. Did you go talk to them? Sometimes what we hear is not true. Okay, we got to be careful about that. We really do. And we're so prone to do that and judge people and not love them. And if there's a real problem, go talk to them. We go to them. We go talk to them and work it out. And most of the time, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in sight. Going on in 1 John 3, that was verse 22. We do those things. So give diligence, make haste, be eager, zealous, swift, move speedily, move quickly. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And going on, who he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified, and so on. Great passage in Romans 8:28 to 31. And so it's God who does the calling, but we hear the call, and we must come. And we can't come unless he calls. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Whosoever will may come. But we will not come unless drawn by the Father. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful because I can't figure it out. Because it's a great truth of God. So salvation is of the Lord, but there is a part I have in response to this. And it's a vital part. I must make it sure. Say, well, I don't think I'm chosen because I'm not saved. Well, get saved then. If you get saved, then you're chosen. Right? You don't worry about that. You just call on the Lord. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God, you worry about your responsibility. Come to him. God takes care of the call, the choosing and the calling. I need to make sure. I need to call on the one who calls. I must believe in the one who gives me the gift of faith. I must live a holy life because he's made me holy. Those who live ungodly lives show no evidence that they truly belong to God and that they've truly received forgiveness. Thus they are exhorted to exercise diligence to confirm that calling and election. I need to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in me. I have a responsibility, yet I'm not on my own. I can do this in his strength and for his glory. It's only by his grace that I can do this. But God's grace doesn't lead to moral relaxation, but to intense effort. And assurance can and will come as I'm obedient to the commands of God. So, we go back to our main point, be doing. Be doing. First of all, exhortation to spiritual growth. First part of verse 10. Secondly, assured stability in the present life. I know those points don't match up very well, but it's the best I can do. We have assured stability. God wants you, God gives you, I can have stability in my current life. For if you do these things, you shall never fall, verse 10, the end of that verse. if you do these things, now here comes my part. First of all, I've got to do this thing called salvation, receiving Christ, calling on his name, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes on him should not perish. I've got to do that. And then after calling on him, I continue to do these things. We must do something. Do something right. Do something righteous. Do something that glorifies the Lord. You have faith, right? You have faith. Is it an active, vibrant, vigorous faith? Is it the kind of true faith that results living a godly life? You see, a true living faith will be one that does the things that God has spelled out for us to do. It will lead to assurance. And when I have victory over sin by an active faith and trust in him, and when I'm living an overcoming life, not a perfect life, an overcoming life that is going in the right direction, then God will give me that assurance that I really belong to him and have a home in heaven. Okay? But be, James 1, verse 22, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man who looks in the mirror and he goes his way and he forgets what he looked like, right? But we're to look in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Verse 25 of James 1. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will tell you whom he is like a man who built his house on a foundation and dig deep, laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. Luke 6:46-48. Don't call the Lord, Lord, and not do what he says. Luke 11:28, he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, do it. John 13:17, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And then 1 John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Okay? So we're to be doers. We're to search our heart, examine ourselves, and see that we be in the faith. We're to examine, and some of us never do. We should see, does my life line up with Scripture? Am I doing the right thing? Am I pleasing the Lord? And some never do, but we can over-examine too. We can get so discouraged. and 'cause we feel like we never do anything right, and but we need to base our hope objectively on him and then practice a Christian life. And the more we do for him, the more certain we can be of him. It builds confidence in him. But I've got to be doing, reaching out, touching the lives of others, sharing the gospel with others, encouraging other Christians. And that will encourage me to go out. But I can't just stare at my own navel all day long, right? But I've got to get out and be doing. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And say, never fall? Never fall. That's what God tells us. It can be translated stumble as well. Stumble, fall, sin, transgress. He will never stumble into doubt, despair, or fear. He will have confidence, enjoy abundant life. Now, the same word is used in James 2:10 and translated offend, with the same word fall or stumble or fail. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend, stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. James 2:10. And we all will. We're all going to stumble and we're all going to fail because we cannot keep the whole law perfectly. So what does Peter mean here? Well, it seems to me the tense of the word, the aorist tense, points to a stumbling that is final, a fall from which there is no arising. It doesn't mean that we will never sin, but rather God will keep us from an irretrievable fall. We're going to complete our journey to our destiny. We're assured of spiritual sure-footedness on our way to the eternal kingdom. Believers who live godly lives will not stumble, they will not forsake God or abandon him or commit apostasy, is the idea. Our fall is not going to be final. We're going to stumble, but we're not going to fall eternally. Now in Jude 1:24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. These things, looking back at 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 7, these moral excellences, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and so on. So Peter's point is, we live changed life. A changed life is a mark of one who has been chosen. So he says, well, I was chosen, but they're not living for the Lord. Then we have to question whether we were chosen. I have a responsibility. I can't say emphasize that enough. Now, it doesn't say we'll never sin. We're going to fail, but we will not apostatize. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for progress. Am I going in the right direction? I've talked to people that say they're so discouraged and they don't have any assurance of salvation because they failed, and they failed, and they failed. And I try to help them. Hey, what direction are you going? Let me remind you, you love being around God's people. You know you need to read the Word. You know you need to pray more. You want to pray more, but you don't. That's a mark of a believer. An unbeliever wouldn't want to be around God's people, wouldn't want to read the Bible, wouldn't want to pray. Or else they're doing it just for good works, right? So be encouraged that we're trying to go the right direction and build on that. Build on that. So be doing. Exhortation to spiritual growth. Secondly, assured stability in the present life. And finally, triumphant entry into the eternal kingdom. Verse 11. This is what I like. At the end, it's a triumphant entry into God's eternal kingdom. For so an entrance, verse 11, shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we do, how we respond, doesn't qualify us to an entry into heaven. Human activity cannot earn this entry, but it's a way that leads to that entry. An entrance ministered abundantly. It's the idea of God will provide, will richly provide an entrance. He's going to usher you and me into heaven richly. Abundantly. Now I got to wondering, why would God say this? I mean, isn't the promise of heaven itself enough? It doesn't seem to be. God always goes beyond our expectation. He will not just provide you an entrance, but will richly provide for you an entrance that's going to be ministered to you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom. And friends, I don't know what that means. I don't think anybody can imagine what that means, but I know I want it. Whatever it means, I want that. I want that, and I must live in a way that I will receive that. And this is his promise, so why not make that my goal? I want to live in such a way and love the Lord so much that I'm just going to be ushered into his presence in glory that cannot be fathomed. An abundant entrance. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know. We should want to have this, for it indicates we're living and being and doing what we ought to be. I want it. I've got to have it. So let's not be satisfied with thinking, well, as long as I make it to heaven, that's all that matters. I'm going to make it in, you know. That's all that matters. Well, if that's all that matters, why would the Lord say this? He wouldn't. Because it does matter. I'm afraid there will be many, many, many who will be saved, yet so as by fire. They get into heaven with the smell of smoke on them. They barely get in by the skin of their teeth, so to speak. 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be born, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We don't want to just barely make it in. The stakes are too high. The reward is too great to pass up. We're to look to ourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward, 2 John verses 7 and 8. Jude 1, 23, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So again, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. God himself will richly provide an entrance. In other words, you will not just barely get in. You're not going to need to sneak into heaven, you know. I think sometimes we almost think that's what's going to happen. Well, I'm just going to get in without anybody looking, you know. No. The angels of heaven, there's going to be a shout, another one entering in to the presence of God. In other words, you will not barely get in. You won't need to sneak in or beg to be let in. You will be welcomed home by the Lord himself, who will say, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, 21, where Jesus said, or where it said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Joy, fullness, pleasures forever. John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. That's abundant entrance. John 17:24, Christ prayed, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Oh, to behold the glory of the Lord. It's coming one day, Lord, folks. It's coming. It's coming just a few hours. A few hours. In comparison to eternity, it's just a few hours, yea, a few minutes, and we will be there. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, to get our focus right on things above, set your affection on things above, we read in Colossians 3. Not on things on the earth. Get our focus away from the temporary and upon the eternal. Well, but I got this to do and that to do, and I'm behind in this, and this isn't going right, and I got to deal with this person in this situation. It's all so petty, isn't it? It's all so petty. You know, compare it. Compare it. I know it's important, and it's hard. It is hard. But by God's grace, we make it through. O death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, death is simply the gateway to heaven, to glory, to our Savior. This life brings its share of trials and troubles and heartaches, I know, but they're going to be a faint memory when we enter in on that day. And I'm looking forward not to just entering in, but entering in richly, abundantly to my true home, purchased for me by my loving Savior, who died for my sins, was crucified, buried, risen, and ascended to where he's preparing a place. Romans 8:16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, Paul says, and the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us or to us. The sufferings we go through, the trials, the heartaches, they don't even begin to stand up to the glory that's going to come. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I look on his face, oh, that will be glory for me. You know, I was just thinking, just closing, Abraham has been in heaven a long time. Abraham has been in heaven for about 4,000 years. And he lived on earth a long time, didn't he? You know, Abraham lived to be 175 years old. That's a long life. But not really. 175 years is not really no different than if someone lives to be 35 and dies in comparison with 4,000 years, right? It's nothing. See, what is that? What is 175 to 4,000? And that's how long Abraham has been in the glorious presence of God. Which life is more important? Which life is more important? One that lasts for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years? Or one that lasts for 4,000 years? Or 4,000 times 1 million times 1 trillion times 100 million trillion times infinity? For that's how long we will be there, and then our praise will have just begun. What are we living for? What's more important? May God help us to be doing for his glory and to receive that abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time and your word. What precious passages we are given by your grace. May it encourage us, Lord. May we be admonished by the Holy Spirit to do our all for you, Lord. And we are so privileged and blessed to be chosen, to be called, to be drawn by the Father. And yet also we're so privileged to have the honor and blessing of calling on your name and responding to what your Spirit does in our lives. Lord, we can never understand these things, but you do. They've never been at odds with one another. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility have always been friends in your sight. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that these things are too hard to understand, but we can rejoice in them, we can glory in them, and live for that great truth that you are going to receive us one day into your everlasting habitation abundantly. But may we live in a way that we will receive that abundant entrance. Help us, Lord. It may be there's someone here this morning who's not even sure they're on their way to heaven. I pray, Lord, they'd make sure by calling upon you, Lord, by crying out to Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Oh, may they be saved today, Lord, before it's eternally too late. For we have no promise that tomorrow will come for us. We may be ushered into eternity before this day ends. Well, help us to live for you, honor you. Bless now as we close, Lord, and may we respond to your working in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to number 371, if you will. 371, a newer hymn. I think most are familiar with it. You may not be, but let's stand together as we sing 371.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep me focused in loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth to my heart after for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, Thy power impart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart.
Let's sing the second two. Notice the words, Father, fill with thy spirit. Father, fill with thy spirit and fit me for service. Let love for Christ every motive inspire. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be thou my joy and my soul's one desire. A passion for thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul and a thirst for my God. Hear thou my prayer, Lord, thy power not just to serve, but to love thee with all of my heart. We serve, but not just to serve, but to love thee with all our heart. May God help us to do that. Have a great day. You're dismissed. Say hi to one another. Don't rush off. Plenty of time. And hope to see you tonight. God bless you.